Section 4, The Violent End of Reconstruction. As you read, look for mounting opposition to Republican rule in South Carolina and the rise of the Ku Klux Klan. How the Hamburg Massacre diminished chances for a combination of Republicans and moderate Democrats. Violence, corruption, and controversy in the governor's election of 1876. How the presidential election of 1876 led to the end of Reconstruction. Terms: Ku Klux Klan, KKK, Red Shirt Campaign. Most white Carolinians never accepted the Republican Reconstruction government. They felt it their duty to oppose it in any way possible. The conservative Democrats had a strong position from which to fight. The whites owned most of the state's land, businesses, and wealth. They used that economic power to try to control the voters. The whites owned most of the guns in the state. If economic pressure did not work, violence would. The rising opposition. We have noted some evidence of white Democrats using threats and violence early in the Reconstruction era. With the beginning of congressional or radical Reconstruction in 1868, the opposition increased, and Republicans played into the hands of the Democratic opposition. They raised taxes and allowed corruption to come into the administration of government. Governor Robert K. Scott's administration, 1868 to 1872, was fairly corrupt. His successor, Franklin J. Moses, Jr., was probably the most corrupt governor ever to serve in the state. The corruption began to undermine Northern support for keeping troops in the state to protect the Republican government. The Ku Klux Klan. The conservatives justified their opposition to Reconstruction on the need to restore white supremacy and clean up corruption. But their opposition began before the corruption began. The Ku Klux Klan, KKK, which organized in the state in 1868, was a secret racist organization that used threats and violence to influence the behavior of citizens. The KKK was not the only means of opposing Reconstruction, but it was the best organized and most effective means for several years. The Klansmen typically operated in groups of mounted horsemen, sometimes disguised in robes and masks. Their targets were politically active Republicans, usually black men. Their purpose was to stop the political activities of the targets. If a threat in the night was not enough to accomplish their purpose, then beatings and torture might get results. The campaign of terror against Reconstruction increased into general lawlessness from 1868 to 1871. Governor Scott was powerless to control the violence, which became most serious in the upcountry. In 1870, he authorized the arming of black militia units to deal with the insurrection. This only inflamed the white opposition more. It was like throwing gasoline on a fire. The situation became so serious that Congress passed two KKK acts in 1870 and 1871. These acts brought the power of the federal government into the effort to suppress lawlessness. In October 1871, President Grant declared the upcountry counties of Chester, Chesterfield, Fairfield, Lancaster, Lawrence, Union, Newberry, Spartanburg, and York to be in a state of rebellion. He suspended the writ of habeas corpus in those nine counties. Habeas corpus is a protection of citizens against arrest and detention without being properly charged with a crime. This protection is sometimes temporarily lifted in order to meet an emergency. Federal and state officials jailed hundreds of Klansmen, swamping the judicial system. Few leaders were caught, and only a few regular members ended up in prison. Though Klan organizations were disbanded, new groups called gun clubs or rifle clubs continued the terror activities. The purpose was still the same: to promote white supremacy and bring the Democratic Party back into power. The final Reconstruction governor of South Carolina was Daniel H. Chamberlain, elected in 1874. A native of Massachusetts and graduate of Yale University, Chamberlain made a valiant effort to root out Republican corruption and incompetence. He even tried to win over moderate Democrats and form a combination of moderates in both parties for his reelection campaign in 1876. The effort seemed to be succeeding, but violence intervened to upset those plans. The Hamburg Massacre. In July 1876, a confrontation arose that was to change the direction of the election and of Reconstruction history. Two white men felt insulted by the black militia that was drilling in the little town of Hamburg. The men sought help in Edgefield from former Confederate General Matthew C. Butler and Benjamin Ryan Tillman, who later became governor. According to Tillman, Edgefield men were ready to do all that was necessary to stop the carpetbag rule. Butler arrived in Hamburg with 200 armed white men who surrounded the black militiamen crowded into a warehouse. Firing broke out. A white man was killed. More armed white men arrived. They used a cannon to force the militiamen out. Some of the blacks escaped into the nearby woods. The whites captured about 36. From these, they selected 6 and shot them dead. The Hamburg Massacre demonstrated once more that the Republican government was unable to protect its own citizens. Governor Chamberlain's appeal to President Grant for more troops proved to Democrats that Chamberlain could not be a trusted partner. The massacre blew apart any possibility of a combined ticket in 1876. More extreme elements of the Democratic Party, including Matthew C. Butler and Martin W. Gary, insisted on a straight-out Democratic policy, no cooperation with Republicans. The election of 1876. The straight-out Democratic Party nominated Confederate war hero General Wade Hampton III for governor. After the war, Hampton had largely stayed clear of politics, but by 1876 he was determined that white leaders like himself must regain control of the state. He claimed to want cooperation with all Carolinians, including blacks, and promised that all citizens' civil rights would be respected. But working hard for his election was a large segment of the party that followed Martin Gary's Edgefield plan, which would win the election for Democrats and reestablish white supremacy. They called it redeeming South Carolina from black, carpetbagger, and scalawag rule. The Democratic election campaign was run like a military operation. Everywhere Hampton campaigned, he was accompanied by hundreds of armed, mounted horsemen dressed in red shirts. This red shirt campaign was designed to intimidate Republican voters and impress everyone with Democrats' determination. Everywhere Chamberlain and Republicans tried to campaign, armed red shirts showed up demanding equal time. Usually, they were able to break up the meeting and prevent the Republicans from speaking to their supporters. Conflicts between the red shirts and the black militia resulted in deaths in a number of places. Most serious was a 3-day riot in Ellenton, in Aiken County, where at least 30 blacks and 2 whites were killed. At a Republican rally at Canehoy in Charleston County, the black militia was ready for the red shirts. Shooting broke out, and 6 whites and 1 black lay dead. That riot finally convinced President Grant to send in more troops to help maintain order for the election. The total of fewer than 1,200 soldiers in South Carolina was hardly enough to assure honest and fair elections all over the state. Grant also ordered all gun clubs to disband and disarm. The clubs simply reorganized as music clubs or baseball clubs, kept their arms, and went about their business. The vote totals in the November election were not clear in 1876 and are still unclear today. What is clear is that both parties were willing to use fraud if necessary to win. The reported total votes for each side were very close. However, Hampton got more votes in Edgefield and Lauren counties than the total eligible voters in the counties. The Election Commission threw out the votes of both counties, giving the election to Chamberlain. The state Supreme Court reversed that decision, and Hampton claimed victory. Both Chamberlain and Hampton were sworn in as governor by their supporters. For several months, South Carolina had the very dangerous situation of a dual government, two governors and two legislatures, each claiming to be the state's rightful leadership. The end of Reconstruction. In the struggle for actual control, Hampton held all the key resources. He had the backing of the people who paid the most taxes and owned the most guns. But after the election, it was the money that was most important. Hampton encouraged his supporters to pay 10% of their taxes to his government so he would have money to operate on. They readily complied. Chamberlain's treasury was empty, and most taxpayers were not willing to pay taxes to him. Even state agency heads loyal to Chamberlain found it necessary to go to Hampton for funding. Chamberlain's only hope was the federal soldiers controlling the state house and artificially propping him up. In the meantime, the election for president was also in dispute. South Carolina was a key player in the election of 1876, which was one of the most controversial in American history. The Democratic candidate for president, Samuel Tilden, was within one electoral vote of winning office. But the elections in South Carolina, Florida, and Louisiana were in dispute. All three states experienced fraud and intimidation, making the actual vote totals uncertain. The Congress appointed a commission to determine who won each of the disputed states. If Democrats got even one of them, Tilden would become president. The Republican candidate, Rutherford B. Hayes, would need the votes of all three states to win. With 8 Republican members and 7 Democratic members, it's not surprising that the commission gave all three states' votes to Hayes only a few days before the inauguration on March 4, 1877, and he became president. To help Democrats accept the bitter disappointment, the Republican Hayes promised to end Reconstruction. The federal government and the people of the North gave up on the effort to reform South Carolina and protect the rights of black citizens. On April 11, 1877, President Hayes ordered troops removed from the state house in Columbia. That same day, without the backing of the soldiers, Chamberlain gave up and took a train to New York. Wade Hampton triumphantly entered the state house as the only governor. The experiment of Reconstruction was over. Within 2 years, the triumphant conservative Democrats had erected on the state house grounds a monument to the Confederate soldiers. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form Ku Klux Klan Red Shirt Campaign. 2. What were the events leading up to the Hamburg Massacre? 3. In the disputed governor's election of 1876, what advantages did Wade Hampton III have over Daniel H. Chamberlain? The following is a summary of Chapter 10. The end of the Civil War ushered in another difficult period for the United States. The task of reconstructing the South, where most of the physical destruction had occurred, was quite daunting. Social and economic rebuilding would prove to be just as difficult. In an effort to bring the country back together as quickly as possible, President Lincoln had been working on some lenient Reconstruction plans with the motto, "With malice toward none, with charity for all," as his guide. Unfortunately, Lincoln was assassinated within days of the war's end. His successor, Andrew Johnson, also believed in somewhat lenient Reconstruction. Many Republicans in Congress believed these presidential policies were not harsh enough, so they developed their own plans for Reconstruction. Their plans included military control over the states that had remained in rebellion against the Union until the end of the war. Carpetbaggers, scalawags, and black men controlled state legislatures during Reconstruction. Many white Southerners were very angry about this situation, trying to keep control over the freedmen by means of black codes and violent secret organizations such as the Ku Klux Klan. South Carolina was quite active in its opposition to radical Reconstruction. When Reconstruction ended in the state in 1877, the federal government finally withdrew troops. South Carolina was soon back under the control of the white conservative Democrats, indicating that little had changed in the minds of many white South Carolinians.